Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The National Basketball Association finals tip off later Thursday night in Oakland, California, where the Golden State Warriors will host the defending champion Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 1 of the Best of 7 Championship Series. It's being described as a rubber match of historic proportions. It's the first time in NBA history the same two teams have met in the finals three straight seasons. Our VOA basketball fans will remember the Warriors beat the Cavaliers 4-2 to win the 2015 NBA Finals. The Cavaliers came back to defeat the Warriors 4-3 in the 2016 NBA Finals. Both teams feature superstar players, LeBron James of the Cavaliers, and Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry of the Warriors have all won the NBA's Most Valuable Player trophy. Durant won it in 2014, Curry in 2015 and 2016, and LeBron four times, 2009, 2010, 2012, and 2013. On the eve of the NBA Finals, LeBron James was asked about his legacy.
I never really talk about my legacy. I kind of just live in the moment, and if I'm able to accomplish something, then it kind of adds to it on its own. So in this instance, you know, I've seen some of the stats and some of the history and things of that nature. You know, I'm first person to go to the final seven straight times since, I think, Bill Russell and those guys back in the 50s, I believe, or 60s. And I think I was the first guy to take two different franchises to the finals four times. So, you know, at the end of the day, I want to be able to, once I hang it up and not play this game anymore, that people can look at what I was able to accomplish, win, lose, or draw, and say that he made a difference. So that's what I'm here for.
Cleveland Cavaliers basketball star LeBron James speaking at a news conference in Oakland, California. LeBron also issued an emotional reflection on being the victim of racist vandalism. Police say the N-word was spray-painted across the front gate of a home LeBron owns in Los Angeles. The Los Angeles Police Department says it will investigate the vandalism as a hate crime. LeBron lives in the house in the off-season, and he and his family were not living in the home at the time of the incident. At that same NBA Finals news conference in Oakland, LeBron James had this to say.
As I sit here on the eve of one of the greatest sporting events that we have in sports, race and what's going on comes again. And on my behalf and my family's behalf. But I mean, I look at it as this, if this is to shed a light and continue to keep the conversation going on my behalf, then I'm okay with it. You know, my family is safe. At the end of the day, they're safe, and that's the most important. But it just goes to show that racism will always be a part of the world, a part of America. And, you know, hate, you know, in America, especially for African American, is living every day. And even though it is concealed most of the time, even though people hide their faces and will say things about you, and when they see you, they smile on your face, it's alive every single day. And I think back to Emmett Till's mom, actually. It's kind of one of the first things I thought of. And the reason that she had a open casket is because she wanted to show the world what her son went through as far as a hate crime and being black in America. So it's like, it doesn't, no matter how much money you have, no matter how famous you are, no matter how many people admire you, being black in America is tough. And we got a long way to go for us as a society and for us as African Americans until we feel equal in America. But my family is safe, and that's what's important.
Basketball star LeBron James of the Cleveland Cavaliers speaking in Oakland, California, where the 2017 NBA Finals tip off later Thursday night. Now let's go to South Korea, where Italy, Mexico, and the United States all posted victories Thursday to advance to the quarterfinals at the FIFA Under-20 World Cup football tournament. The USA had the biggest victory of the day, a 6-0 thumping of New Zealand in Incheon, South Korea. Josh Sargent scored the opening goal for the American boys in the 32nd minute, and the USA then scored 5 more goals in the second half. The 17-year-old Sargent now has 4 goals at South Korea 2017, tying him for the tournament scoring lead with Jean-Kevin Augustin of France and Sergio Cordoba of Venezuela. The U.S. Soccer Federation says when Sargent scored his first goal against Ecuador May 22nd, he became the youngest American player to score at a FIFA Under-20 World Cup. Josh Sargent and the USA will play Venezuela in the quarterfinals on June 4th. Also in Incheon, Mexico edged Senegal 1-0 on a late goal by Ronaldo Cisneros. The Mexican boys will meet England in the quarterfinals on June 5th. And in Chonan, South Korea on Thursday, Italy defeated France 2-1. Ricardo Orsolini and Giuseppe Panico had the goals for the Italian boys, who will next play Zambia in the quarterfinals on June 5th.
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep on sunny side of life. It'll help us every day. It'll brighten all our ways when we keep on sunny side of life. When we keep on sunny side of life.
It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Namdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Let's begin with Julius Ndongo, the blue machine from Namibia and the Sunny Side of Sports Fighter of the Year for 2016. Julius holds the IBF and WBA Junior Welterweight World Title belts, Namdi. But there's talk that there might be a big unification fight coming up.
VOA!
Tell our VOA boxing fans about that.
Sonny, it's very rare in boxing when we have 4 belts on the line, because the American Terence Crawford is the WBC and WBO Junior Welterweight Champion. So the Blue Machine, Julius Ndongo, being the WBA and IBF champion, it'd be a serious unification bout that we haven't seen in a long time, and that's going to be a fight that the fight fans really want to see.
Namdi, what's been holding up this unification fight?
Well, both sides have agreed to fight. Ndongo was in New York City at the Madison Square Garden to watch Terence Crawford destroy Diaz, and they both have agreed. But the problem is that they don't have a date for HBO, because the big money is with HBO, and Terence Crawford, who is American, is with HBO. So that's one holdup. And the other holdup is the question of mandatory, because IBF wants Ndongo to go for a mandatory fight against the number one contender.
Where would Ndongo Crawford likely be held, Namdi?
Well, they're talking about Omaha, Nebraska. That's where Terence Crawford comes from. And then you remember now, this will be the third time that Julius Ndongo will go overseas to take on the world champion in their backyard. He went to Russia, he destroyed the Russian, and he went to Glasgow and did the same. So we're hoping for him to come to Omaha, Nebraska, and then take on the undefeated champion in Crawford and do his thing, which we believe he can do. And remember now, these are 2 undefeated fighters with 4 belts on the line. Fight fans wants to see the fight.
Namdi in Tokyo recently. Cameroonian fighter Hassan Ndam won the vacant WBA middleweight title belt. In controversial fashion, he scored a 12-round split decision victory over the previously undefeated Japanese boxer Ryoto Murata. Can you break down the scorecards for our VOA listeners?
In every fight, we have three judges. And two judges here scored the fight for Hassan Ndam, 116-111 and 115-112. The only judge that scored it for Murata is the American, 110 and 117. Don't forget now, Murata had Ndam on the floor with a big right hand in the fourth round. And he was coasting all the way, hoping to win the fight. And everybody in the building thought that he was going to win a very easy fight. And there was no way you can come into somebody's backyard and you're on the floor and you still walk away with the title. So that was very, very rare. And then it's a situation whereby everybody's calling for a rematch and the judges are not going free.
Any penalties for the judges?
Well, the two judges, I'm talking about Gustavo Padilla from Panama and Hubert Earl from Canada, they've been suspended for 6 months. And when they come back, they must pass a test. I'm sure they should have also checked their eyes, too.
Is a rematch likely between Ndam and Murata?
The president of the WBA, Gilberto Mendoza Jr., has requested there must be an immediate rematch because the money is from Japan now. Don't forget now, the Japanese put up this money. So for them to have the fight taken away from them in their own backyard, they're demanding a rematch and they have the money to make a rematch. Because mind you, Murata has never lost a fight and he's an Olympian. So you're talking about a fight that's a lot riding on him and there's a lot of big money. So they'll do a rematch.
Namdi, let's go to Sheffield, England, where local favorite Kell Brook lost his IBF welterweight title belt to the American Errol Spence Jr. Talk about that one, Namdi.
Sonny, it was a big fight in Sheffield, England, with 27,000 people sold out, and it was lived up to the hype. And here we have an undefeated American Errol Spence taking on Kell Brook. And you ask yourself, was that fight really necessary? Because remember, Kell Brook's last fight was against Triple G, where he weighed 160 pounds, which is the middleweight limit. And then melting down from 160 down to 147, there was just no way he could just handle the power of Errol Spencer. And Errol Spencer is undefeated, you know, 22-0 with 19 big knockouts. So coming off that fight with Triple G, with the eye surgery, going for this fight was this bad, bad move by his management.
And Brooks suffered another eye injury.
Well, remember for this fight, he suffered a broken orbit bone in the right eye. The last one was on the left eye when Triple G destroyed him. And then, so we have both eyes now. And then you wonder when fighters retire, why they go blind? Because situations like this, there was really no need for him to take this fight with this brawler from America and then end up going for surgery. It just makes no sense. And now, we will not see the effect of this today or 10 years from now, but how about 20 years from now, this cat may be walking with a stick and could barely see.
One of the fighters ringside in Sheffield was Amir Khan. Would he have been a better opponent for Kell Brook?
Amir Khan would have been a very easy fight for Kell Brook, and that fight would have even been bigger and more money and a lot of drama. Because these two guys, they hate each other, and it would have been for a catch weight. It wouldn't have been for 147 pounds. He wouldn't have had to melt down. He would have maybe come to 154 or 152. Again, bad management by this Kell Brook team.
Let's move up to the heavyweights, Namdi, and your Naija boy, Anthony Joshua, the reigning WBA, IBF, and IBO heavyweight champion. What's the latest with a Joshua Klitschko rematch?
Well, Sonny, AJ returned to the gym on Monday for what we call shakedown. There's a whole threat now by IBF, International Boxing Federation, that Anthony Joshua must fight the number one contender. And then you ask yourself, who is this number one contender? His name is Kubrat Pulev from Bulgaria. What has he done to warrant him taking on Anthony Joshua for a payday? Remember, this is the same guy that was knocked down three times by Vladimir Klitschko in 2014. So you ask yourself, why force this fight on Joshua right now? Because the world wants to see the rematch between Vladimir Klitschko and Anthony Joshua. And if there's no step-aside money, they may have to take away his belt from him.
What type of step-aside money are we talking about, Nnamdi?
Well, Sonny, in boxing, both sides will have to agree on step-aside money, which means could be $150,000 to $200,000. So that means you step away, this fight can happen. Or maybe they will also put you undercard. But if you refuse to take the step-aside money, then that is when the IBF will say, okay, if you don't fight this Kubrat guy, then we will take away your title. But like I said here in the past, these belts don't mean anything. The belts don't make the fighters. It's the fighter that makes the belt.
Thanks, Nnamdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moueta. And we'll hear more hard-hitting commentary from Nnamdi during Friday's Sunny Side of Sports. Encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. The address is at VOA Sunny Sports. Joining us once again here in Studio 22 is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Always good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Thursday?
Well, as we heard earlier in the show, that disturbing incident with LeBron James where that racial slur was spray-painted on his garage in his house in Los Angeles. Obviously, a very disturbing incident that's getting a lot of attention on social media, fans coming to LeBron's defense. And while the incident is horrible and lots of people saying that goes without saying that it has no place in sports or really anywhere in society, fans are continuing to support LeBron James addressing race issues. This is not the first time he's spoken up about race, and fans are really encouraged that he's starting that conversation and continuing that conversation and really being a vocal advocate for race issues. So they're hoping that he'll keep that up, especially in light of this. But lots of fans focused on tonight when LeBron and his Cleveland Cavaliers will tip off against the Golden State Warriors, hoping that LeBron can look past this and take home the championship ring. Many saying he will solidify his place as the GOAT, the greatest of all time.
His goatness.
He will solidify his goatness if he can win this championship. One person in particular with very interesting thoughts about this, Draymond Green, one of LeBron's opponents, who is on the Golden State Warriors. Draymond Green says he can have the GOAT, but he can't have the ring. So, interesting take on it. He said, you can be the greatest of all time, you can be the best, but this championship ring is ours. You're not coming for it.
And this is a rubber match. Third time they've met, third year in a row. So I think it's going to be a great NBA Finals.
That's what fans are anticipating. Like I said on the previous show, they're waiting for the documentary to get made about this series, about this storied rivalry between these two teams.
Well, this other sportsman, Andrew, at one point was being mentioned as a GOAT when it comes to golf. But this week, The news not so good regarding Tiger Woods. Is Tiger still trending?
He is indeed, and this is another disturbing incident of a different kind, as we've now seen the video from police of Tiger Woods being stopped and arrested after driving under the influence of medication. You see the field sobriety tests where they try to get him to recite the alphabet backwards or try to walk in a straight line. He's not able to do any of that. He basically is asleep on his feet, as many people have pointed out. Just looks completely out of it. And that is contributing to even more shock. Fans saying that it's a surprise he didn't crash his car and get hurt or worse, given his condition. Mm. So the video is only adding to the story, adding to the speculation about what exactly is going on. And fans really concerned about Tiger Woods, hoping that whatever the case was, and they are hoping it was something benign, that maybe he accidentally took the wrong medication. They're hoping that it gets sorted out and that he gets back on the course. But this is, once you see the video, you'll see really how out of it he is, and it really puts a new perspective on it.
Tiger, of course, has struggled with injuries the past few years. Andrew, I read one report he's had 4 back surgeries during his career.
Yeah, and that's what fans are saying, that maybe this wasn't, you know, an illegal use of prescription medication. Maybe it was just that he had a, you know, back pain. He was trying to use this medication for that and unfortunately took the wrong amount. That's what fans are hoping, that it was something benign like that. But we'll see as we get more details.
Well, tennis fans have had a lot to cheer about this week, Andrew. Their attention focused on the French capital, Paris. What's trending at the French Open?
So 2 big stories out of the French Open, and it's apropos of our conversation about injuries. An unfortunate injury today, Nicolas Almagro playing against Juan Martín Del Potro in the second round, when Almagro is forced to retire due to a left knee injury. He kind of stands there with his hands on his knees and then collapses onto the court, and he's sobbing, just crying uncontrollably. Juan Martín Del Potro, who himself has been had tons of injuries throughout his short career, sidelined for years at a time, rushes over to comfort him. He helped Almagro walk back to the chair, sat with him to comfort him, and actually helped him pack up his rackets and his bag. Juan Martín Del Potro getting a lot of attention, saying what a great display of sportsmanship that was. And again, from someone who has been there, he has had those injuries. He has had that experience of having to retire in matches from being sidelined. So really a lot of compassion. And it goes to show, as we've said time and time again on the show, there are some things that are greater than sports. And being a good sport and being a good human being is one of those things. And that was certainly on display in Paris today.
Nice story indeed, Andrew. I remember yesterday you were talking about bad sports. And so let's give Juan Martín Del Potro a sunny side of sports salute for being a good sport there in Paris. What else is going on there in the French capital?
Well, a great champion in her own right, Venus Williams, may have gotten herself in a little bit of trouble.
Uh-oh.
Venus may have spilled the beans about Serena's baby. So the other day, Venus Williams won her second round match at the French Open in straight sets in front of a surprise visitor in the stands, none other than Serena Williams, her sister, there watching her from the stands. So after the win, Venus was asked in her post-match interview what Serena's baby will call her. Venus responds, "She's going to call me the best aunt."
Now notice, she's going to call me the best aunt.
So people are saying, aha, Serena is having a girl. Well, Serena went on social media and she responded with a lengthy post where she said, "I think the surprise of knowing what you're going to have on that special day is probably the best surprise you can ever have." So to clarify what Venus said, "I am always joking with my sisters to see what I can get for them to do for me. So I call them Baby Venus, Baby Lynn." It's actually, Serena has 4 sisters, including Venus, as a household of girls. So she said they always used the pronoun she more than he. So that's how she explains it. We'll see if that's true. I guess we'll find out in about 4 months or so when she has the baby, if it's a girl. It's a 50-50 shot that Venus was right. Serena, at least for the time being, saying, "Nope, it's still a surprise. That's just Venus's slip-up. She doesn't actually know the sex of the baby, and neither do we." So we will see when Serena has that baby, if it's a boy or a girl.
We'll wait and see. Thank you, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. And that wraps up the June 1st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
As the world has grown increasingly interconnected, fast-evolving technologies, globalization, and trade liberalization have all but removed many traditional barriers to free movement of goods and people and facilitated rapid transnational business, trade, and banking transactions. Transnational criminal networks are among the great beneficiaries of these developments. Today, such organizations employ the latest technological advances and use commercial jets, fishing vessels, and container ships to move drugs, people, small arms, crude oil, cigarettes, counterfeit and pirated goods, and toxic waste through the region, generating massive profits, said Senior Director for National Security and Diplomacy Anti-Crime Programs at the State Department's Bureau of International Narcotics and Law Enforcement Affairs, David Luna. Transnational crime is tremendously lucrative. According to a number of international organizations, the illegal economy accounts for 8 to 15% of the world's gross domestic product, and nowhere are these criminal networks more active than in sub-Saharan Africa, said David Luna.
Illicit markets are growing across Africa to meet the global demand for arms, counterfeit cigarettes, diamonds, natural resources, and other illicit commodities.
This fact has not escaped terrorist organizations. Indeed, today's thriving illegal economy is so lucrative that terrorists are increasingly turning to criminal activities to fund their violent campaigns, such as those that we are witnessing today by Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, also known as AQIM, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, and others, said Mr. Luna. So, for example, in the Sahel and the Maghreb, AQIM finances its terror campaigns by collecting a tax on drugs passing through territory under its control. AQIM and ISIS, both of whom are involved in smuggling and trafficking in persons, are attempting to build alliances with violent extremist networks in Libya and across the Maghreb, Sahel, and West Africa. In reality, there is no region, no country, and no community who remain untouched by the destabilizing effects and corruptive influence of transnational organized crime and violent terrorism, said Mr. Luna. The United States is committed to strengthen international cooperation in support of our U.S. law enforcement and security agencies and the capacities of our allies and partners in Africa to disrupt and dismantle transnational organized criminals.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Interested in deeper analysis of news and events in Africa? Then plan to join me, Douglas Impuga, on Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll have African journalists and expert guests discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. So plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.